Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot. Just like the fajita. I write what I live. My life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow. Just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam. I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm rapping. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah. I'm a bright young man, kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on.
There we go.
Yo, y'all caught what he said? He likes his dog like Peter. That's a dope bar.
Yeah, I was really, really listening to it that time. I was like, yo, okay,
You get that, though? He likes his dog like he's Peter. Like Peter, but he also likes his dog like Peter from Family Guy. Like, come on. I need a mic. We need a mic drop. I need a mic somewhere.
And then, you know, and then because he's a Christian, you know, rapper, it's like he's talking about Peter, you know, in like the Bible. And, you know, so he just incorporated so many different things. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
He's a lyrical genius. Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. You know?
Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah.
He's tough.
But so what's going on, fam? How are you two doing?
Doing good. I thought I haven't talked to you guys in like forever.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I sucked this week. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's been so busy and, you know.
Busy. Elliot Jansen.
Is that what I've been doing?
You're a break dancing, Elliot. You're a break dancing.
Dancing
hurt
himself. So, Elliot,
let me find out you trying to get your ozone on.
Yes, I was out there battling in the parking lot, spraying my ankle.
Oh, man.
Welcome, everybody, to Point Blank Radio.
Point Blank Radio.
We have so much to go over tonight, y'all, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, good stuff.
It's a lot going on.
Definitely some good
a lot.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I'm calling. Tonight is going to be our highest rated show ever. Until next
Oh, really? Dwayne, you and your
yeah.
extreme.
Yeah, until next week.
Right. Until next week.
Until next week. Yes. You know, folks, I know. I miss y'all. I'm not going to lie. I miss y'all. I know Kia texted us like, hey, pretty much, why are we not talking? I'm not going to lie. I miss y'all. I'm going to do better.
No,
I told her, I'm old school. I like to talk. When I see a text message come through, I just want to pick up the phone and call and be like, hey, yeah, I'm
right.
Ready to answer for that. But, you know, Kia's too hip for us, man. She send us a voicemail and send a text. What you doing?
Right.
What you doing?
I'm gonna tell you though. Let's not fail to mention how great the show was last week. I really got to go back. I didn't really get to talk about that, but having you know what I'm saying, having your friend on last week from you know what I'm saying, Black Gun. Was it Black Gun and Roses?
Jazz and Black Roses. Yeah.
Black Roses. Black Roses. Oh man.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. That was a really good show.
Yeah. So. And I always enjoy our callers. Speaking of callers, if you guys are listening in and you want to call, you can give us a call at 845-241-9979. And we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because the stuff that we're going to be talking about, I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to jump in on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Now they want to jump in on that. Gonna be good.
Oh, all right, so what we got going on tonight, you guys? What we talking about, Dwayne? You know, you normally be, you know, keeping us on track and stuff. You know, we'll start rambling. You know, me and Elliot, we're rambling.
Oh no. Silly. Now I feel like I've been tasked with keeping us on track. Now I'm the worst. Cause okay. So you know, I always gotta throw out there. Y'all wanted to go straight into the topic because it's a lot. It's a lot. This topic is phenomenal,
y'all. Yeah, I think we need to go into the topic because it's so much and we don't want to run out of time.
Yeah,
let's get started, y'all. Get started.
Kia sent us a message saying, "Hey, this is what we need to talk about." And when the queen of the group say this is what we need to talk about, guess what, guys? We drop everything, scrap it all, and we go straight to it. We don't even
care
what
we was talking about. He not gonna leave the jokes behind, y'all.
No. No. I'm serious. Like, there's been a huge uptake in, and I wish that we gotta find a way to do this live on live so people can see us. So I'm doing an air quote right now, y'all. Mass shootings, right? There's been an uptick in mass shootings, and you know, before we deep dive into, you know, last weekend alone, they had 12 mass shootings across the U.S. And then we unfortunately had another one this morning in San Francisco. Well, not San Francisco, in San Jose. Before we deep dive a little bit into those now 13 mass shootings, you know, Kia, you had a great thing. You know, she pretty much said, she wants to discuss about self-defense, and if more people carry defensively, do we think we would have less mass shooting? And that's when I saw that question, I was like, yep, scrap everything. That's what we need to talk about, because that's what we're here for. You know, we teach people self-defense.
Right.
We teach them the power of not just self-defense. We're not saying going out and shoot back or shoot first or whatever. We teach them safety. That's the primary thing, safety avoidance, right? But sometimes you can't avoid craziness, right? So I'm going to throw it out there. Again, callers, numbers 845-241-9979. Call in. The question is, if more
really
people carry defensively, you know, it was asked by our queen of the show, if more people carry defensively, would we have less mass shootings? What do y'all think? Kia, you answer first because I already know E ready for this one. This is a loaded question. So
Let's
Kia, you go first.
We actually talked about this before. We've actually had a short little conversation about this a couple weeks back. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, we did.
So
we did.
But now if you're going to get a little deeper, I think it's going to be really good. So yeah, go ahead, Kia. Well, what's your view on that?
Well, for me, my view is the short answer of it is yes. I feel as though, you know, I know, Ellie, you say all the time, it's like, hey, it's like if you go someplace that you know that people are not carrying, right? So, and then you have a place beside it when you're unsure, where is the criminal going to go? The criminal is going to go to the place they
right.
know that you're not allowed to carry. Because, of course, they're not following the rules. They're not following the, you know, what the guidelines and rules. They don't care about the sign on the door, right? So I feel like,
right.
but in several instances when I've read the information about the mass shooting, whatever that shooting may have been, you know, I feel as though lives could have been saved if someone in that, whatever that situation is, if someone had a gun, then it may not have been as bad. So that's how I definitely agree with that statement.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
D, what you feel?
I love it. That's true. Yeah, I was just about to interrupt you and say I'm gonna go first because I know that I'm gonna go next because I know this is something that you hold very, very, like, you're very passionate about this topic, E. I don't know, Kia, you're passionate
yes,
about it too, but it's something that really like really pisses you off when it comes down to this topic. And I only got one thing to say. Kennesaw, Georgia. That's all I gotta
exactly.
say.
Look up
the reports in that town, folks. Look it up. Kennesaw, Georgia.
Yeah.
Look it up. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, that's good.
But before I just leave it at Kennesaw, Georgia, What is why Kennesaw, Georgia? Because that is one of the cities or towns or counties, I think it's one of the cities in Georgia where every household is mandated, it's mandated for every household to have a firearm. Look it up.
Right.
Kennesaw, Georgia. Go ahead, E. I'm going to lob it back over to you. Yes.
Nah, you good. I mean, you could have kept on that because I'm loving it. Yeah. That if you're getting one place I want to move to, that's
I know.
The
Yeah. Kennesaw, Georgia. Look it up. Look up the crime in
my
that
My God.
Place, you know. Go ahead, E. Get him, E.
See, that's
get
what
him.
I'm talking about, man. Listen. So I'm gonna come from two different perspectives, right? Because I've read a couple of articles today, ever since, you know, Pia threw it out there. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, yeah, we're going to be talking about this. Like Dwayne just pointed out, yo, yeah, that's a serious topic for me. Because y'all know I stand on the saying that a people that are unable to defend themselves are either they're subject to either death or slavery.
Yeah.
Y'all know I stand
yeah.
on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer, you know, that if there were more people armed, there will be less of these incidences. You feel what I'm saying? And I'm not just saying armed. I'm talking about armed and educated. So people, when we say armed, we are kind of putting it all in the same because we're instructors. We don't want, you know what I'm saying, people out there that aren't educated or aren't trained with firearms trying to defend life because you may take
exactly.
an innocent life in doing so
right.
because you're not
right.
well trained. Now,
right.
Hey, E, before you finish, right, you also
yeah,
said
that.
I love that, but you also said less. So, folks, he kept it realistic. He didn't say, if more people were armed, it's going to be no gun violence or no violence.
Right.
He kept it realistic
right.
because guess what? There's still bad, evil people out there. So crime is still going to exist. Crime is still going
right.
to exist. But it's an
right.
easy deterrent, you know? Crime is still going to exist because guess what? If they eradicate all guns right now, gun law across the U.S. is zero guns. Guess what's next? Knives.
Right.
They're going to have mass stabbing.
Right.
That's
right.
what's going to be recording that. They get rid of knives. Guess what? Mass hit and runs. So go ahead. E. I just wanted to let the listeners know. He didn't say
now,
get rid of, but he said
yeah.
less. Go ahead, E.
Right.
Because what everybody, so having this conversation with my brother literally yesterday, about the mass shooting that happened in Fort Smith, Arkansas, right? His first response
mm-hmm.
was he hadn't even heard about it, right? He was like, I didn't even hear anything about it. I said, yeah, because it's not mainstream media. We understand why. It don't fit the narrative, right?
Right.
This is about gun control and gun control of the people that are armed, responsible firearm owners, okay? So that's
right.
So he was like, I said, you know, I feel like everyone should, if everyone was armed, it would be less of these problems. I said, and the proof in the pudding is, old guy saw what was going on in his complex. He grabbed his rifle, and he put that guy down, and he saved lives. Unfortunately, there was one life that was lost. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
But how
right.
many lives could have been lost because the guy was determined to hurt more people? He had several
exactly.
others laying on the ground at the time
right.
that he had been shot. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
I said it to my brother. My brother was like, well, you know, you could make an argument that if there were no guns, we wouldn't have these problems either. I said, that doesn't make sense. I said, because name a government that doesn't function behind military force. Name one. You see what I'm saying?
That's
said,
right.
So
you're right.
If you're saying, I said, if you're saying that there will be no more guns, that means not even governments can have them in order for there to be no gun violence. But we're going to, come on, let's look over the history of man. Before there were
right.
guns, there were slingshots and arrows and
right.
spears.
Exactly.
And swords. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, you're right.
I told him, I said, to make that argument. It you know, literally, to me, made no sense. And don't get me wrong, my brother's quite intelligent, but he's not a gun advocate. Like, he's not 2A, not yet. You feel me? So
right.
He's still kind of trying to get there. But he was like, you know, well, yeah, you can make that argument. I said, no. I said, because if you're saying take away all the firearms from the civilians, from the armed citizens, now you still leave us subject to take over. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
we
exactly.
can't defend ourselves mm-hmm. now. You know, and then we're still talking about, and Dwayne, you said it, there's still going to be bad guys. So you take all of our, the responsible firearm owner weapons away. Who's taking the firearms away from the bad guys? You see what I'm saying?
Right. You can't, they're not taking them away now.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, no, what they're trying to do with these gun restrictions, these new gun laws, all that good stuff, they're trying to restrict the gun owners, the responsible gun owners. And at the end of the day, that's not going to stop mass shootings, right?
No,
you look
not at, at all.
Not
at all.
Right. You look at, what's that, white, the Texas shooting last year, where the guy was only able to get off two shots. Unfortunately, two
right.
people died. But a security officer by the time he hit the second shot, the security officer put him down with one shot. In a congregation of close to 100 people. Now, from what I saw in the video, he was using a shotgun, a pump action shotgun, not an AR-15, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Make sure you specify.
But the armed, yes, the armed citizen used, it looked from the video, and I could be way off, but it looked close to like a Kimber 9mm type style, you know what I'm saying? But it was a good distance. I'm just saying, as a gunsmith, I kind of recognize the shape. But it was a big boy. And this guy, one shot, killed this guy. He saved many lives. Now,
right.
it could be argued, oh, well, the shotgun only probably holds 5 to 8 shells. Yes, you're right. Probably.
Nope.
But who's the same
Nobody's
guy
coming with just
more?
One. He can load, right.
But see, well, another thing is, too, seeing what the shotgun is. They didn't see that he had a shotgun when he came into the church. The man was sitting in the congregation doing the sermon.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he may have had other weapons. You see what I mean? But again, those are just two that I could talk about. Another incident that happened, I want to say, give me a second. I can't remember the town, but it was a gentleman chasing another gentleman through a cemetery. And an armed citizen at a stoplight saw it happening, got out, and shot the gentleman that was chasing the guy with the gun. Was that a bit much
yeah.
when we go into our NRA and our USCCA ruling?
Definitely
yeah.
a bit
Might
much.
Have been
you don't, and in those situations, though, you don't know who the bad guy and who the good guy is, right?
Bingo. Right. he was able to get off because they found him not guilty under the Good Samaritan law, believe it or not, right? That was cool.
Okay.
I was like, okay. But this is where it led me, because it led me to this. The Occupy Democrats is some kind of organization posted a few years ago that the number of mass shootings stopped by armed citizens in the last 3 decades is 0.
Well, I have a study done by Forbes that the CDC conducted that says there is an estimate 1,029,615 defensive gun uses per year, and that's for self-protection and for protection of property at home, work, or elsewhere, and that excludes military service, police work, or work as a security guard.
My God. You see, do y'all hear what the numbers? But how many of us hear those numbers?
None.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
None whatsoever.
I didn't know those numbers. I got 22 cases here since 1991 of armed citizens saving the lives of many.
Hey,
and,
can I add to that real quick? So you're
ahead,
talking
bro.
About saving the lives of many, right? I'm looking at one right now, and this was in 2017, but it's of a Good Samaritan with a gun saves a cop.
See?
How crazy is that?
See?
And it's not. And,
right.
and you would think that this is a one-off. No, there's a ton of cases to where Good Samaritans with firearms come in and save law enforcement. Because guess what? Is that still not community? Does that still not answer
yes,
the question
is.
That if
yes,
more people was armed, would they be less or more mass shootings? Right there, you had a bad guy that shot, and he didn't just shoot the cop. Like, he actually shot and put the officer down. And this Good Samaritan came in after he heard the shots fired and engaged in the target. So, folks, we're not saying engage with targets. Not at all. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying going out there and be vigilantes. Let's make that very, very clear.
Absolutely.
You should always avoid situations. But you're in a position where you have no other option and you could possibly save a life, and you have come to terms with what you are about to do. Again, the proof is in the pudding. So, you know, Elliot's talking about stats. T is talking about stats. But here's a stat about law enforcement being saved. So I just want to put – and this guy was an ex-felon. He turned his life around.
And you guys,
he's an ex-felon that came out, got his rights back, got his concealed, got right with God, and saved the law, saved law enforcement. That's crazy.
Wow.
We have a caller, you guys. Let's see what our caller has to say, because I'm sure this topic is going to be a hot topic tonight. So let's see what our caller has to say right quick.
Absolutely.
Hi, caller. How are you? Welcome to Point Blank.
I tried to stay away, but you pulled me right back in. This is Sarge.
Hi, Sarge. How are you?
Sarge.
That's thank
so
you.
Fun.
I don't know if I can live up to all that hype and tumult, but I'm going to try. Look, you guys are raising a very important subject here, and we don't have to speculate about it, as you've already proven. We can just cite the number of times a mass shooting has been prevented in real life. We've got in 2007 a woman, former police officer, and a volunteer security guard named at a church named Jean Assam. In 2007, saved the day at New Life Church by engaging and killing a shooter armed with hundreds of rounds of ammunition, clearly intent upon a mass shooting. He killed two people before she stepped up and took him out, engaging him with her handgun. Alton Nolan was stopped by a reserve police officer in Ohio. Same, similar situation. In Corlin, Texas, two Muslim gunmen, radical Muslim gunmen at a event designed to protest radical Islam in Garland, Texas, were killed by an off-duty police officer who had come there to murder the people who put on the event. Armed guard disarmed the shooter at Prince Middle School in Atlanta, Georgia. Internet cafe in Florida, 2012. A 71-year-old man named Samuel Williams pulled his gun and ran off. Three armed men came in there with guns. Springfield, Missouri, a guy with a tactical rifle and 100 rounds of ammunition was stopped by a lawfully owned citizen. In Townville, South Carolina, in 2016, Jesse Dwight Osborne started shooting at the playground there. Prior to the shooting, when he started shooting people in the playground, he killed his father at their home. A volunteer firefighter who had a firearms concealed carry permit engaged him, wounded him, restrained him until law enforcement got there and took him into custody. September 24, 2017, Emmanuel Cadega Sampson, armed with two handguns, started shooting in the parking lot of the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ in Antioch, Tennessee. He killed one person. He entered the church, shot six people. A citizen who attempted to subdue the guy was pistol whipped. While the shooter was preoccupied by another citizen who had a concealed carry permit, went to his car, got a handgun, held the shooter at gunpoint until law enforcement got there. One person was killed, seven was wounded. He was apprehended. November 5th.
And Sarge, I hate to interrupt you, but you know what's so interesting is that we never hear about any of these instances on the news ever.
I keep track of them because I know how the media lies. And I know what their agenda is, and I know how I was missing. See, I used to be a big gun grabber before I became a police officer and when I was a liberal, back when I was a liberal and voted for Democrats all the time. See, it wasn't until I became a police officer and found out about how they've been lying to me about gun control that I began to look into everything else liberals and Democrats have been lying to me over the years. And that's why I determined after this I will never again believe them without double-checking everything they say. And I found out they just about lie about everything. And there's few subjects they lie about or distort about more often than guns, gun control, and criminal use of firearms.
I believe that. I believe it.
Thank you for that. But I would like to acquaint y'all with the rulings by the courts. Warren versus United States, I would implore you to look it up. The federal court held that the police are under no obligation legally or constitutionally to protect you as an individual from either crime or criminals. The only time they are legally and constitutionally obligated to protect your life and provide you security is when they have taken you under arrest and have you in custody. Isn't that something?
Whoa.
Think about that for a minute.
Wow.
Warren versus
wow.
United States, look it up and read it for yourself.
Wow.
So
wow.
unless under the concept of sovereign immunity, unless a sovereign entity like a state or the federal government or whatever decides to allow you to sue them, you don't have a recourse for them failing to protect you from criminals, not legally or civilly.
Wow.
And to some degree, that makes sense because they're just not going to be able to protect everybody all the time, as long as they don't do anything that egregiously causes you to be injured or killed by a criminal, like some utter malfeasance or lack of responsible behavior with regard to apprehending a criminal. I mean, it's not realistic to expect that they can protect you. But when they attempt to keep you from an effective means of self-defense by onerous gun laws, that's when you need to raise the roof.
Yes, sir.
I know,
yes,
that's
sir.
Right. Yep. Wow.
Definitely.
I'm like, wow right now, y'all.
So like I said, just look up the ruling Warren versus United States. It was eye-opening. When I tell people about this, I know you didn't know that, because a lot of people like to give you the impression, and believe me, no one has more respect for dedicated, hard-working police officers than I do, because I knew hundreds of them, okay? They just can't be everywhere, and you can't expect them to. It's just not conceivable or possible. Your self-defense and security primarily rests with you.
That's right.
And you've
I
got
wow.
to look at things in that light.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sarge, of course, we always enjoy your presence. And you know we're going to get you on the show probably next week so you can just sound off for real.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be happy to because it's... There's so much out there to talk about. You know, it's amazing because firearms have been around, I don't know, since, at least in Western civilization, when Roger Bacon wrote about them in his musings, scientific musings in the 14th century. And you would think, given the fact they've been around for something like over 600 years, in the modern era of firearms with, you know, with regard to smokeless powder and repeating fire, cartridge loading, repeating firearms really dates back to the late 19th century when they invented smokeless powder. You would think we would have a better, at least a basic understanding of firearms and the way they're used and everything else. But the ignorance is almost medieval, in some respects almost medieval superstitious. It's crazy. Technology is this old. We should not be this ignorant about a technology and this old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, thanks for joining us, Sarge. Like, we definitely appreciate you signing off because, again, folks, these are the things that don't make the news. The only thing that makes the news are the bad things that tie into an agenda, right? And right now, what's the agenda? Let's ramp up the conversation around mass shootings. And every time I say mass shootings, I'm putting air quotes. And then let's see which mass shootings utilize, and I'm doing this again, I know this is gonna cringe my firearm instructors out there. Assault rifles, right? Let's see which one of those is using that scary big black gun. But guess what? We don't ever hear about those mass shootings for real that utilize a handgun, a shotgun, anything like that, you know? So it's just sad that we all fall victim to just pretty much what the news say, and we all go, kind of go down that road.
Right.
It is the literal truth. I mean, the literal factual truth that more people every year are murdered with fists and feet than are killed with every type of shoulder-fired weapon that exists. And I'm including so-called assault weapons. I'm including shotguns, rifles. You got about, on average, somewhere between 800 and 900 people a year killed with fists and feet, and about 400 to 500 every year killed with long rifles, long shoulder-fired firearms of every type. What would they have
you
us
know
do
what's
this?
So crazy,
amputate our fists and feet to prevent us from killing people?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what's so crazy,
wow.
Sarge? I actually just pulled it up, right, guys? So number of murder victims in the United States, 2019 by weapon. So 2019, 6,368 firearms. Guess what kind, guys? Guess what kind of firearms that was? Handguns.
Yeah.
Handguns. Right below, 1,446 knives.
Right.
Knives. And cut or cut instruments. And just like Sarge says, fist and feet, they're right there. Personal weapon, hands, fists, feet, etc. 600 on the dot. And other weapons or weapons not stated, 840. Now, firearms, which is probably going to be, probably going to be ARs, is probably around 3,000, it says. But then we also have rifles, 364, and shotguns as it go down. But number one is handguns, but we're never screaming ban handguns. Ban handguns. It's always ban these so-called assault rifles.
Well, actually, they're saying ban all guns. If they could have their way, they would say ban all guns.
Oh, yeah,
would.
For sure. And then they're gonna cut our feet, hands and feet off, like Star says, with a knife. But it's just crazy. Sarge, thank you very much for joining us tonight, Sarge. We definitely appreciate it. Kia, give Sarge a huge, huge, huge round of applause. I'm giving him a real round of applause. There you go. I don't know if you can hear that.
Look, I'm gonna give him one of the real applauses. But for some strange reason, okay, here we go. I'm pressing the button. Technology, I tell you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a live audience that we paid to have come into studio with us every single time.
Man, you guys have really got a first-rate outfit going on here. I mean, it's real class stuff then. Oh,
well,
great.
Thank you
and,
so
but
much,
I did
Sarge.
Work
really
in Chicago
you.
Where, you know, they confiscate a lot of guns. And, you know, do you know that out of the top 20 types of firearms seized by Chicago police, just in the year 2014, 173 of them with a Smith & Wesson 38 revolver, 179 with a Ruger P9 9mm pistol, Colt 38 snub nose 59, Glock 45 pistol 57, Glock 40 151, Smith & Wesson 9mm semi-automatics of all types 149, Smith & Wesson 40 132. Out of the top 20, not one of them is a shoulder-fired firearm.
Come on, talk.
You know, Sarge, I would love to ask you who you work for, but I don't want to know. I don't want to end up on nobody's list. I just thank you for your stats. So. I don't want to know. But no,
it's public information. It's not like, you know, people can't find it out. It's not like a secret or anything. I mean, you know, the Chicago police publishes their homicide stats, the guns they seize. I mean, all this stuff is public. The problem is that they don't want to tell the truth. They want to disarm the American public to the maximum extent possible. They don't want you to understand the very reason the Second Amendment was placed in the United States Constitution. They don't want you to understand the true nature of criminal firearms use, who uses them and under what circumstances. They don't want you to understand lawful firearms use and under what circumstances. And they definitely don't want you to know who the militia in the that is necessary to the security, the well-regulated militia that is necessary to the security of a free state. They definitely don't want you to know who that is. And by the way, that is you and me.
Wow, that's true.
That is definitely
wow.
the truth.
That is the truth for real.
I mean, shoot, the show's over now, y'all. Sorry, done took it out. He
yeah,
done shut it down.
I was just waiting for you guys to talk. There's so much to say about this. I mean, there's so much distortion and misleading and outright lies. It's almost unbelievable that they keep getting away with it until you realize the media is a wholly owned subsidiary of the progressive Marxist left. Then you understand why it's the way it is. But you got to keep reminding yourself of it, because there was a time when there was at least a pretense of objectivity and a rational reporting amongst journalists. It does not exist anymore. Not at all.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I believe that 100%. I really do believe that.
Sarge.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate you jumping on, Sarge. Thank you very much. And we are super, super excited for you to jump on the show. I think Kia said next week. So, folks, look forward to our Sarge segment, where we're just going to let him come on.
That's what we're
going to
call it, the Sarge segment.
Say whatever
you
want.
I'll be there with bells on. I'll tell you what, I'll call Kia, I'll make arrangements, and I will be there with you next week. You just let me know how you want to direct the conversation or what area you want to cover it in, and we'll go for it.
We can't wait.
We're going to talk Sarge, and we'll get it all taken care of.
Absolutely, absolutely. Give it up one more time for Sarge. The most, folks. You know, a lot of times.
What do
you
think
about
do you think about what they said, Elliot? Like, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No. Go ahead. Toss it over to E. Go right ahead.
No. Go ahead, Elliot.
Go ahead,
Dwayne, because I know Elliot's gonna bring. You know, he's gonna have a lot to say too.
Yeah.
Man, look,
I was gonna say, you know, a lot of times I think the problem with the non Second Amendment. Community or the anti-gunner community. Like, I don't really like to say anti-gun because it's not that they're anti-gun. They're just ignorant to around firearms, right? And give them the benefit of the doubt here. A lot of times we'll get into this debate about should we have firearms, should we not, should we have firearms? But then they will hear someone like, I'm going to use you, E, as an example, you, Sarge, and they'll take your tone and your passion for safety and for the Second Amendment and just take that and run with it. Be like, you see, you guys are angry. You only angry people like firearms. Folks, that is just tone and passion. Don't let the message get lost because you're listening for something that I don't know what you're listening for. Listen to the message. These folks, myself, Kia, Elliot, Sarge, we may come off sounding harsh, y'all, but folks, we're passionate about this. We're passionate about our rights. But outside of our rights, we're passionate about the fact that the Second Amendment right allows us to protect ourselves, our family, and our community. All
right?
So
yep,
don't let you being soft to the tone of our voices when we're talking with passion distort the message. Pay attention. Listen to the message. Let's have a real conversation. If you want to get passionate about how you feel, so be it. We're not telling you to stop not wanting guns. We're just telling you, don't bring that nonsense over here. If you don't want to buy a firearm, fine. But that don't mean you need to get out and march to stop the law-abiding citizens from owning one when they're going to responsibly store it. They're going to responsibly holster it right. They're going to responsibly carry it when needed so it doesn't fall or all the other craziness you see. And then just maybe we might be there to protect our neighborhood, our family, ourselves. Oh, Kia, we got another caller.
Yeah, we got another caller. Let's pick up our caller. You guys are calling for real tonight. Okay.
Oh, Kia.
Welcome to Point Blank Radio. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, my name is Juanita. Hey, Dwayne.
Nice to meet you.
What's up? We got Lanisha. I didn't even recognize the number. Okay. Hi. I mean, person I don't know.
So, I was just calling in the comments specifically on what you were just talking about about people who have or seemingly have, you know, issues with the Second Amendment. You know, I feel like we have had many discussions in the last few months regarding this. And I think that the main concern is it being, or for me anyway, guns being used, us using guns against each other. I believe that, you know, we should have guns to protect ourselves, protect our families, et cetera, to protect against the government's attack against us, whatever the case may be. But I think along with the education should come the discussion of responsibilities and what we should and should not be doing as a community.
Okay,
of course.
So
I definitely agree with that.
And folks, I'm gonna throw this out there, Lanisha, being that you called in. Look, I want to first on live on air in front of our audience, you know, all 10,000 people that's listening right now, y'all. Lanisha, I appreciate you because not too long ago, your views on firearms was like, hell no, we don't go, right? And I do want to thank you for, you know, like you said, we've been talking on and off like in the last like 2 to 3 months, and you did nothing but stayed very open-minded, which made the conversation very easy. And at times we don't see eye to eye all the way with firearms, but what we do see is the fact that we can have a conversation. We start there. And I appreciate you at least being open to the conversation. And now to hear that you say, well, yeah, you understand, not just understand, but you can see a need for a firearm in the home, but community safety and, you know, safety on how to utilize the firearm should be a communal thing. I do, again, I appreciate folks. I'm going to give Lanisha a round of applause because that's your extent, you know? We can definitely learn from each other. When she told us, you know, when she told me a while ago, hey, she's not for firearms, at first I was like, man, what the hell you mean you're not for firearms in my mind? I don't know if I said that to you out loud or not, but that's what I remember me telling myself in my mind. I was like, what the hell you mean you're not for firearms? Like, I just don't understand. But we kept on talking. And I got your point of view, and you got my point of view. We listened, and you know, folks, that's just where it starts. Thank you for calling in, Lanisha. What
sure.
do y'all got to say on
thank
that?
Thank you so much. The ladies representing.
More, so
thank
I
you.
I think that it's like this, right? What do you do to resolve the bigger issues here with the guns in the communities? Because to be honest, they're obviously being kids, but they're still probably now being placed in the community in the wrong hands with the youth and just others to be aiding and killing each other. So what's y'all's opinions on that? Is it just, that's just a part of it? Or is it an active issue and concern that you feel need to address through your platform as well as the education and the need and everything else regarding firearms?
Hey, one of y'all want to take that? Because that's a nice loaded question.
For me, I personally feel as though as a black person, a black woman who understands, of course, the black community, we need to do away with stop snitching. We need to start snitching. So anybody who's coming into our neighborhood or anyone who lives in our neighborhood who is, and I'm going to say this on the radio, I don't know how many people are listening, I really don't care, but if you see someone in your neighborhood that is doing something that they should not be doing, that's basically going to bring your neighborhood down, children are getting killed, we were just talking about that a few weeks ago, innocent babies, innocent people, older people, our youth, they're being killed and gunned down, and no one ever tells or say anything. And somebody saw it. And the only time we get out and rally and march and protest is when it's a white officer or a white something, killing a black person. We never do that when it's us, and we need to start focusing
right.
on us. It's like my grandmother always used to sing this song, people around your own front door. We got to get our own communities in check. That way, when people come into our communities, they will respect our communities, and they'll treat us with respect. How can someone treat you with respect when you don't treat your brother or your sister like with respect? We need to clean up our own
Absolutely.
Communities first, and then we can talk about someone else. And that's how I feel.
Yeah,
I agree.
What about you, E?
She, I think she was saying something. Go ahead.
No,
oh, my bad,
I agree with that. I think that that's a lot to do with it, though, is the fear that, you know, if you're living in a hood, then that guns is a big concern. Your safety, your family safety, et cetera, because it's just out of control in our neighborhood. So I do
yeah,
think
but,
that there's
but,
accountability that does need to be had. But also, beyond accountability, you know, resolution and a solution in general.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
just
very
acknowledgement.
True. What do you think, E?
I think, and I understand, definitely, I get what everybody is saying. The problem that I have seen, though, with accountability in the hood is fear is greater than, than accountability. They are afraid that what happened to the next guy will happen to us. And this, and I'm proving this, I'm making this point to go back to what the original topic was about if more people were armed, would it be less mass shootings? If people felt like, now, and don't get me wrong, a lot of stuff that goes down are incidents that happen, whether they are, domestic or gang-related or whatever in the neighborhood, rival neighborhoods, whatever the case may be. If we handled it differently, if everyone knew, like you, like Akia just pointed out, that you just couldn't come into our neighborhood without a consequence. And I'm not saying come into our neighborhood and we're going to shoot you. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, there are consequences for doing wrong on my corner. You feel what I'm saying? And if that means that we're going to get law enforcement involved, then so be it. You feel me? But you can't come into my neighborhood and do whatever you want to do, because there are children here. There are lives here. There are people. There are legacies, right? We have people that have been living in my neighborhood since I was born. You feel what I'm saying? So
I do.
You don't want to destroy
I think that's
people.
The mentality of a lot of people in the hood, though. A lot of these gangbangers, even. I think it's about that for the most part, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are, again, you know, we go back to education, they're misled. You feel what I'm saying? Where I'm making a statement today for my kids. Hey, let's respect our community. Let's support our community. Let's hold our community accountable. But decades from now, my great-great-grandchildren might have heard the message, yo, if anybody comes into your neighborhood, shoot them. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, you know, but the message isn't being taught across the board the same way. You know what I mean? What my grandfather said is not what my father is saying. And what my father is saying is not what I'm going to tell my kid. You see what I'm saying? And that's where we have to do better.
Yeah.
We have to teach
but
them.
Yeah,
yes,
I just
the
called
same
in because
value.
I feel like it's important to hear and not really hear, but consider and address the concerns of people who are not necessarily against, you know, having guns for protection, but have issues and concerns about it and everything like that.
I think having someone like you being willing to listen, willing to have a conversation, willing to point out your point of, you know, show us your point of view is a major step. And if many more of us would do that, because even those of us that are 100% 2A, we still can't be dogmatic about it. We still have to be willing to listen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. You know, E, I'm glad you said that, right? And because I feel like this is how it is played.
all three of us is very pro two-way. Lanisha is, and I'm going to say how you used to be, right, anti-two-way. We live in the same community, and Lanisha is like, hey, no guns. We're like, no, we got all the guns. We're coming. And Lanisha is like, you know what? I'm going to listen. Okay, you brought the guns into the community. You're law-abiding. They're here to protect. Now what? And I feel like that now what is something that we don't really we don't talk a lot about in the Second Amendment community. We're just saying we want our guns, right? We want our guns. You should accept us for our guns. And it's a two-way conversation. So I really love that question that you put out there, Lanisha, when it comes down to, you know, I feel like you challenged us. You said, okay, I get the guns. I get the Second Amendment. I get the guns, everyone having a gun. But what are we doing about the bigger problem? The bigger problem is the overall violence that just so happened that with that violence, they utilize firearms. A state like New York, they don't utilize firearms all the time. It's a lot of stabbing, slashings, and stuff like that. So you got the guns. What are you guys going to do? Are you just going to go Wild Wild West and shoot everyone? The answer is no. You know, it is let's go do what Kia said. Let's do what Elliot – let's start with what Elliot messages. Hey, let's get back to our roots. Let's get back to community. Now, not this community crap that we talk about, kings and queens and all this other junk that us black folks like to use these days. No, let's show what community and communal behaviors really mean. You know, you can't call me a king and then turn around and when my baby gets shot, you can't say that, hey, John John down the street was the one that did it because you don't want to be considered a snitch. Because now we got Lanisha looking out a window like, yo, you brought guns into the community. That still's happening. What are we doing about it? You know? So that's a great question. And you know what I'm going to start doing, Lanisha? I'm going to start challenging all my fellow instructors to that type of question. You know, what are we doing outside of just saying, I have a gun, I'm my own first responder. Now what?
Right.
It's all about each one teach one, right? Let's pass Elliot's message down. Let's pass Kia's message down. And let's make our community bigger, stronger. That way we can have a Kennesaw, Georgia, you know, and kind of go from there. So Lanisha, hell of a question. I love it. That made me think.
Beyond the fact that it's okay to just be a gun enthusiast or just a hunter or whatever. But, yeah, I think that's an important thing that I would like to hear included in you all's conversations more often. Because, you know, I do be listening.
I appreciate you jumping on, and I definitely appreciate
you
calling.
Well, thank you for listening.
And
we really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And call in more often. Definitely call in more often and challenge
absolutely.
Us, if you don't mind.
Yeah, definitely. Chat with us. Challenge us. Throw these questions out there because, you know, here we are talking about all this stuff, but you hit us with a real question. Elliot, great answer. Kia, great answer. Phenomenal answers, y'all. She tried to get us. She tried to quiz us. I feel like she tried to quiz us, y'all. She tried to quiz us. We're ready for this, y'all. Thanks for calling in, Lanisha.
Yeah.
That's really great
good.
So far.
I like that, you know what I mean, because her question brought up a huge point of mine. We've been so caught up in wanting to fight to keep our rights. We haven't even really, the real fight is how to get them to focus on the real problems. I love that. That's
the violence.
That's what
the crime.
She answered the question, and I was like, man. We have been in so much. Yeah, they're lying to us. They're deceiving us, like we say in the Marine Corps. They're bamboozling us. You know what I'm saying? But we need to take the fight to the real problem. Listen, y'all leave us alone, and let's focus on the real problem. You know what I'm saying? The real problem is the gun violence. How do we deal with that, all right? We got instructors that are ready to educate. Right, we have instructors that are ready to train. We have instructors, right? Maybe we need people, you know what I'm saying, policing, right? But this is where it gets crazy, and I know somebody's going to be like, oh, yeah, right. But we need to have people policing how many, non-registered, or not even registered, but non-responsible gun owners are in their community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need a gun registry. But if this is my community, I definitely want to know who all has a gun. I'm just
And you know what it is? It's as simple as when you see that thug on the corner, be on the corner. You know what? I grew up with the boys on the corner. We need somewhere, like, the kids need someplace to hang out, I guess, whatever. But when we see that young fella, that young lady, and they're carrying a firearm, I'm not going to automatically assume, man, there they go again. They're about to shoot the place up. No. Virginia, open carry state, right? I'm going to assume that you're doing it legally. But if you're carrying, it could be something as simple as you see him carrying and their gun is sticking out their pocket. Yo, young fella. Hey, young lady.
Right.
I don't know what we call the young ladies, but we call the young guys. Yo, young fella. What kind of gun is that? I noticed that was a Glock. You know what? I ran inside real quick. I don't know if you got it. Don't take this as an insult, but here's a cool holster, man. You know what? I'm a firearm instructor. Listen, the one thing you don't want is just that hanging out your pants because someone could snatch it. I know you gangster. I know you saying that now. But also, look at the people that where they're looking at you. Now law enforcement driving by and they eyeing you, not eyeing me. Yep, I'm carrying. You didn't know? Let me show you how. Little things like that is good. That's community, y'all. Having those conversations in front of the gun store where you see those brand new young gun owners walking in, stopping like, yo, what'd you get today? Oh man, listen, my name is Dwayne. I'm a firearms instructor. Nah, because you're under such an age, half off class. I just want to make sure you get this knowledge. You know, little things like that. That's community. I like what you said though, E. You know, just being able to identify those. You're not creating a list, but we all know who the troublemakers in our neighborhood is. And I don't say troublemakers like the ones that go shoot up place, but we all know every neighborhood, you got that one kid that causes trouble. We got that one little crew that you're like, damn, these damn kids won't grow to hell. I can't wait till they leave this neighborhood. You know, go talk to them. Have a conversation.
Here's the problem. We're stuck between a rock and a hard place as you know what I'm saying, as gun advocates, right? Because on one hand, right, I'm going to play the devil advocate for a minute. On one hand, we're saying that everybody shouldn't have a gun. Let's be honest. Because the people that are committing gun violence, mass shootings, we've said this at least once or twice, man, who gave that guy a gun? Right?
Right.
But on the other hand, as a 2A advocate, we're like, well, that's his constitutional right or her constitution. You see what I'm saying? So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place because we're trying to tell people, yes, we believe everyone has the right to own a gun. But there is a part of us as instructors that say everybody shouldn't have one. They have the right to own it, but everybody shouldn't have one. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
I wouldn't put my firearm in my 5-year-old's hands. Why? He's young. Lack of understanding. Do I educate him? Yes. But he's still at an age where he doesn't truly understand the power. You see what I'm saying? There are people that have firearms and don't understand the power they are wielding in their hands. You feel me? So with education brings great, you know what I'm saying, a greater understanding of responsibility. I truly believe that, right? It gives me a better understanding of this responsibility, what I have in my hand. The more educated I am, the more I'm trained, the more less willing I am to just take a life. People that are out there with the mass shootings, they don't really care about any of that. They don't care about responsibilities. They don't care about, you know what I'm saying, obligations. They don't care, nothing. I just want to hurt somebody today. You feel what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
But in reality, they're no different whether they're 54, 24, 34 than my 5-year-old son when it comes to a firearm. Just they don't have the understanding. They know it can kill.
That's right.
But they don't truly understand its power. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. Mm.
It's definitely a lot to unpack because, you know, like the young lady said, it's like you do have to kind of dial it back sometimes. You know, sometimes, you know, you got to say, you know, that's one thing that bothered me the most, I think, in 2020. It's like, I understand, you know, marching and all that stuff. What I don't understand is while you're marching, a baby's being gunned down on the other side of town, and no one's saying anything. You know, that's the problem. The issue is, everybody's marching saying, "Oh, we will not. We know we're not our ancestors. We're not going to let this stuff da da da." But then you
king
don't stop
queen.
Killing each
yeah,
other.
Don't forget
though.
King and Queen. Don't forget King
oh, yeah,
and Queen.
Oh, yeah, King and Queen. Yeah, yeah. But we don't stop killing each other either. So you know what? Technically, if they really wanted to, if the let's see, what if the conspiracy is just to kill all black people, right? Kill all black men like everybody's making it seem. Well, they don't have to do it. In our communities,
yeah.
It's done every day.
Yeah.
And it's like, people get upset when people say things like that, but it's the honest truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the honest truth. It's like, hey, you have to take responsibility. It's like our kids. You know, we teach our kids consequences and taking responsibility and ownership. We have to take responsibility and ownership for our actions as well. And if we're not going to march for the baby, for the little baby, I think it was you, Dwayne, just talking about a little girl that got killed at McDonald's. Like, she's 7 years old. Don't she deserve a march? You
right.
know, and
yeah.
it really makes me upset. When I think about it, because we'll do all this, you know, people go out and do all this rioting and acting up and acting a fool in our own communities now, tearing up our own communities, and then
tear it up.
Tear it down, burn it down. Stupid stuff,
yeah, the
right?
Same McDonald's
and then turn right, the same McDonald's, right? But then when little Ray Ray around the corner shoots somebody, and that mother has to grieve and mourn, she's not getting TV. Time. She's not getting publicity. She's not getting anybody. Reverend Al Sharpton's not flying down here to go sit on her porch.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
So
that's an issue
for me.
Because here's the reality. I'm about to hit it. You literally set me
you're about to hit it.
Right
you're about to hit it. All
right,
we got
to hold on. Hey, I'm telling you, she sent me an alley-oop right there. That's an alley-oop, and I'm about to speak on it. This is the truth. At the end of the day, the narrative is keep them divided. And I'm not talking about the black community. I am talking about our entire society. They do not want us to ever stand together.
That's right.
White, black, they don't want us to do that. So we
mm-hmm.
have to keep y'all angry at each other. We have to keep
one
y'all fighting each other, right? Because I heard somebody say this, oh, my gosh, and this blew my mind, right? They said, name one thing you learned in school that you realized was a total lie, right?
Right.
And the response was liberty and justice for all.
Mm.
That blew my mind. Why is that? Because
right.
I served in this country, have family members that served in this country as black Americans, and we love this country, but there's still not the same liberty for me as it is for my white brothers? Wait a minute. I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole idea. Yeah, we're gonna throw all of that on television because a white cop killed a black man because we want to keep them hating each other. Because all along we got another agenda. We got something else going on, and we're gonna get them all. Yo, everybody gonna look up and they ain't gonna have no way to defend themselves. Everybody gonna look up and they gonna have no way of protecting their house. Because they're
that's
so
right.
hating on each other. Yeah, keep them
yo,
at
E,
all.
Right. You just said something crazy about keeping
ahead,
us divided.
Bro.
You know, it's you definitely hit it on the head with that in the sense of when a white cop, you know, unfortunately takes a life or a life of a black person is lost by a white cop. Am I angry? Are we really angry at the situation or are we angry at the outcome? Because a lot of times the situation is obvious, right? It's no-brainer, guilty, right? But then it goes to court. And we all we all get up there and we all say, oh, guilty, black, white, guilty, guilty. But then the news come and then the news start pushing it. Law enforcement killed black person. Law enforcement killed black person. Person gunned down by cop. Black person gunned down by cop. This, and they keep talking about the division. Black person gunned down by cop. Cop killed black person. And then the jury comes, and then now you already have a society that's kind of a community that's on edge, and we was just brothers and sisters. Now we're on edge because we went from all in agreement to how this should play out, guilty, right, because we saw it live. And I'm not just talking about what we just saw with George Floyd. I'm talking about just what we see on TV that's, like, obviously guilty, right? We all come to the same verdict. We all start marching for as one community, and then it slowly progresses to black versus white to now blue lives is in the conversation, right? Where did that come from? Blue lives matter. In the years of everything that's being tossed out there, that is still fairly new, right? So now you have black divided with white and then divided by cops. And then you have this community as intention, and then we have a verdict. So we went from everybody united to saying guilty because we saw it on TV to all of a sudden division is forced. So that you just hit that on the head. You know, division is forced, y'all. Look what's getting ready to go on now, and then we're going to double it back to the question of the show. Look at this mass, no mass. All of a sudden, it's dividing us. Oh, you can go into a store with a mask. Oh, you can come in without a mask. So now when you go into a store with a mask, you're automatically assumed to have been vaccinated. So now you have the anti-vaccinated or vaxxers or whatever looking at people without masks, like, how dare you get vaccinated, and then vice versa.
Right.
So that's another form of division that's about to happen or that's happening right now. Look when all of this stuff first happened with COVID. Wasn't that people with masks versus people without masks?
Yep, it sure was.
You know, at some point, the division is going to – we get united as a black and white community, and then division happens. Now it's going to be gun versus no gun. And now you hit it on your head. I'm going to double back us around, though. Answer the question, E. What do you think? Do we arm all citizens, legally arm all citizens? Does that really stop mass shooting, Kia? Let's give a hard yes, hard no. Hard yes, hard no.
Well, my answer is no.
You said no. It does not stop mass shooting. Okay.
No.
What about you, Kia?
I say yes with a caveat. Not only do these people have to have firearms, but they also have to know how to use them.
I like that. I think I like yes with a caveat. I think that's where E is leaning on with his no. Why do you say no, E?
Yeah, because, you know what I'm saying, without education, the mass shootings are still going to go on. I agree. Like, if all citizens are armed, then they have to be educated. Not that they have to be, but they should at least want to be. You know what I'm saying?
Very true. Yep.
So, I mean,
I threw a tricky
you have to
word
have
in
some
there.
Kind of education. Right. You have to have some kind of education in order to drive a car. You feel me?
Very
you know
true.
That we have probably more car incident deaths than we do gun shootings. You know what I'm saying? So you had to have some kind of instruction, you know what I mean, in order to fly a plane. You know, I mean,
very
so,
true.
Yeah, so why not with another tool get some of that kind of education? But if we continue the way we're continuing and we arm all citizens and there's no education, mass shootings, it's just going to get worse.
So now let me ask you the proper
question. That I agree with,
Let me ask you the proper question. Does arming our citizens, legally, of course, does it help with avoiding mass shootings?
I believe that it is a deterrent. I'm not going to go into a community that I know that there are more gunmen there than there aren't. You know what I'm saying? If I plan to do something harmful, that's just common sense. Look at the guy in Colorado. He chose to go into a community
where they were anti-gun, the entire community. The dude in the shopping center. They were all in
right.
gun-free zone. Look it up. Gun-free zone. And he walked up in there and started shooting people. That nobody in there had a gun. No, not one person was able to, you know what I'm saying, defend themselves.
Yep.
But if, it, but if he walked up into that area in Georgia, I think he would have thought twice about pulling that fire off.
That's
you
true.
Get what I'm
saying? Yeah. And I think people on both sides of this coin make sense because, you know, you don't, we don't want vigilantes either, right? So we don't want people just out, you know, because we don't want issues with people shooting the wrong person, which we talked about that. And even when I went, you know, we were talking about, you know, not knowing who the bad guy is, right? Especially if you're just walking up on a situation. It's different if you see the situation unfold. But it's another thing when you just show, insert yourself into a situation where the person may be on top of someone, beating them, but not knowing that they finally subduing the person that was harming, doing the harming. See what I'm saying? And that's when they say even when, you know, an active shooter, we've all taken an active shooter training, right? So the first thing they tell you is put your firearm down, you know, and put your hands up, you know. So it's like because they don't want you to blend in with everyone else. So if that's the case, then you don't – if you're just walking into a situation as a civilian, right, so you walk into a situation, you don't know who is the bad guy and who is the good guy. But I have so I have a feeling that people would prejudge, do you understand what I'm saying, who the bad guy is and who the good guy is, and it will be a lot of instances of people shooting the wrong person. So
come
I can see both sides of the coin. But I need, you know, I think that the key to all of this is training, education, because that's the only way you're going to know, hey, where to insert yourself and where not to insert yourself. If you're unsure, you don't insert yourself.
And I'm going to tell you another area that has to, we're talking about, you know, the young lady talking about addressing the bigger issue, right? We have to do better about addressing media's way of categorizing or symbolizing a individual, right? It is ridiculous how the media found a way over centuries now, right? Oh, man, over time to, you know what I'm saying, make black Americans automatically appear evil. You know, they're bad guys. They steal, right? Generation after generation, people are, you know, because that's all they understand. That's all they know. That's what they're teaching their children because that's all they've been taught. Generation after generation. That's a problem that has to stop because based on what you just said, someone going into a situation and they haven't assessed the problem, if they see me, 6'2", 300-pound Elliot Davis with a gun pointed at a small white guy who's the active shooter, chances are someone's going to take a shot at Elliot before they take a shot at the white guy. Let's be realistic, because that's what the media has done for our community. Division. You understand what I'm saying? It's about to keep them divided. We got to make them the bad guy. Right? We got to make him the bad guy. You feel me? Because think about this. When 9/11 hit, how many people was using the word nigga then? I shouldn't have said that word. But you understand what I'm saying?
I should have beat
using
you.
That ugly word. Right. But let's be real. But I wanted to prove a point. You feel what I mean? How many times did you hear that word from a different race person? You feel what I'm saying? A white American.
Right.
Because for whatever reason, everything we had come to know and understand went out the window when those planes went into those buildings.
Yep.
The three of us on this phone right now probably know at least one person that was affected by a loss of someone in those two buildings. That time was devastating. You understand what I'm saying? And like I said, forgive me for using that word. I hate that word, but I needed to prove a point. You feel me?
Right.
I just needed – you know what I'm saying? During that time, all of a sudden, it was the United States
against everybody, everyone else. But quickly as the smoke clears, come on, man. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
As quickly
right.
as the smoke clears, all of a sudden we back to hating each other again. What? Somebody just attacked our country, our soil. We all reside here. Why are we fighting
right.
each other?
Yeah, that's right.
We, you know what I'm saying? We ain't East America, North America, South America, West America. Well, we, you know what I'm saying? We fighting for dominance. No, we are the United States of America. And there are people still in this country that can't look past color, man. It's 2021.
Yeah, right.
It's ridiculous to me. It's ridiculous. I'm done. I ain't saying nothing. I'm finished.
No, I mean, you hit it on the head. Like, I just sent y'all. Listen, I was just talking to a friend the other day, something similar about that. It's kind of like, and I'm trying to think of the very PC way to say this, but I'm just going to bring it out, right? PC's out the door. The whole stop Asian hate thing, right? Do I want our Asian brothers and sisters to be attacked? Of course not. That they're Americans. They're here, they're Americans. I just think it's crazy how, if anything was to happen, they have a place that will come and back them, right? God forbid something happened to the Asian community. They have.
You throwing another alley-oop.
You know, they have. No, I don't know. But, you know, they have community out there. They have other places out there. They have the China, the Japan, all the other Asian countries out there that will come and can that they're people that they can have come and back them. That's what happened with us. Just like you said, what's going on here? This is our home. We're tearing up our home as Americans. But as soon as an outsider comes and do something, we're all about America, America, America. The threat is done, and then we're back to killing each other. So going back to what Lanisha was saying earlier, tying back to what you were saying, Elliot, and then tying back to what you said earlier too, Kia, is community, folks. Let's start small. Kia said it. I don't even remember the saying you used because I think that was a very country saying. I never heard that saying before about sitting on your porch or something like that. But it starts with your home. It starts with your own front porch. Then it goes on to your curb. Then it goes into your corner. Then it's your block. Then it's your neighborhood. And before we can even talk about what's going on down the street, make sure your street looks right. You know, make sure your street looks right before you tell somebody else about coming onto your street. And then you can start going places. Before us as Americans can dare go to other countries and tell them what they can and can't do, how about we look at ourselves? Let's stop looking at each other and saying we're brothers and sisters, kings and queens, and all this other nonsense we like to call each other, and we don't really treat each other that way. You know, so
but see, man, listen. Oh my God, I gotta take the fast break now because you just passed me the ball. You just passed
me
the ball.
I think you stole it from me. I think you took it from me.
Listen,
Kia, brace yourself. I don't know what he's about to say. Brace yourself.
This right here, I'm telling you, I'm about to windmill this one, and I'm breaking the wind.
I don't know what he's about to say.
Yo,
I don't know what he's about to say, Kia.
Yo, oh my goodness. So a few days after a certain individual took office, they signed a bill, right?
Yes,
that had
did.
Been already passed. That's already been passed, right? It's unlawful, right? That like you literally, it's a felony. Massive charges if you do anything to the Asian community in the United States, right? This same individual spoke to the black community and said, you're not black if you don't vote for me. And there has not been a single bill passed or an act done with the, you know what I'm saying, the injustice that we've seen to the black community. Now, mind you, I still stand with Kia about we got to police our own community. I stand with you on that, Kia. I think that's an excellent point. You feel me? But let's look at the division I keep talking about. You signed a bill for the Asian community, act of violence. Like, you guys have done things for the
You make sure it's a hate crime if you say anything negative about the homosexual or lesbian community. But nothing's being done about the police killing black, a black individual. Like, nothing's being done. Nothing's being done about a racial, act against, there's been reports of people, young black people, found hanging. Hanging.
Oh, yeah,
trees.
They're still hanging.
Going on?
Yeah, they're still hanging going on. That's y'all president. I'm going to say it. Let me say it here first. That's y'all president. I'm just playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't even going to say that. You ain't have to do that. But, yo.
That's not my president. I didn't vote that way.
You feel me? Oh, so I'm the only idiot on the phone on here, right? I'm the only idiot. You know what I'm saying? But you understand what I'm saying, though? Like, I agree with Dwayne said a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, about never again voting without doing all the research. I'll never do that again. I take that note from
exactly.
You, brother, and that's exactly how I'm going to go from now on. I guarantee it. You feel me? I don't care what party it is. You feel me? I'm voting
agree.
For what's the
My wife told me who to vote for, and I listen to my wife.
Yeah.
I listen to Kia. She said, you better listen to your wife. Side with your wife. So I listen to my wife. That's what I want.
I'm trying to tell you, man, because more and more I see how much that was a mistake. But like I said, though, the division, I believe, is the bigger issue. The media is the bigger issue, right? The act of violence with weapons in our communities, period, is bigger issue. You know what I'm saying? Just violence, period. Not just firearms, not just knives. We talk about hands and feet, right? These are problems, right? We those of us that are 2A advocates, we need to fight for the big. We need to start looking at fighting for the bigger issues. Let's find a solution for those problems, because then it's a lot easier to instruct people. You feel me? Because think about this: our businesses, and I'm about to say something, and both of y'all might get mad when I say this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Our businesses are really thriving right now because people are afraid. They are afraid either that the government is gonna try to take away. Some people are afraid of the zombie apocalypse. Right? And some people are just like, yo, I just want to know how to use the gun. I'm being honest, right?
Oh, let me add one more in there because I'm not mad at that statement. I completely agree. That's why I've been telling all my fellow instructors, don't focus on just one thing. I want to add, people are also afraid of being caught illegally carrying a firearm. So they come to us and say, hey, I carry my firearm. I don't, things is being crazy. How do
but
I get
can
legal?
Can I say something, too? I think part of the reason as well, you guys, is because it's becoming like a fad almost, too. Because it's like, how many people I've had tell me, oh, I have my concealed carry. Well, how often do you shoot? Oh, I don't shoot.
Yeah.
So it's like,
that's
so you
crazy.
You ran out and you got your conceal and carry because everybody else had their conceal and carry. And then you have people that come, actually people are asking me, like, hey, there's in conceal and carry, so we'll learn how to shoot and everything. No, not conceal and carry, like Ebony said last week, conceal and carry is for you to show me that you have done your due diligence and you're ready to show me in the state of North Carolina or the state of Virginia or the state of wherever you are, that you have done your due diligence and you're ready to conceal and carry and walk around with your gun on you. Not so that you can post it on Facebook and say, hey, I got my conceal and carry, and don't even own a gun.
That's awesome. Because I remember when Dwayne mentioned that, I changed my curriculum because of that, bro. Like, you have to do – my classes will now be two-day classes. You don't have to do – basic instruction the pistol before I actually can just give you, the ins and outs and the short, of lethal force and all that stuff before we go into concealed carry. So, yeah, I thought about that as well after you said it. I was like, man, that's actually a really good idea because I need to know, because and I think that I'm going to tell them the same thing. Like, listen, if you bought this weapon just because you just want to have it and you don't plan on ever carrying it or defending yourself with it, you need to either, go sell it back because you're wasting your time. Like, you just – I do an EDC check to many of my clients almost every week, every week.
Yeah, we see it. You post it on Instagram.
Yeah, right? Yo, and I'm so shocked at how many people that I have done classes, that have done classes with me, they don't carry their firearm. I am just shocked. Like,
same thing here.
What in the world?
But that's that fear part, E. You know, that's that fear, like, I need to get it. I need to get some sort of legal, and then it's going to go under my bed. You know,
I have people now coming circling back and taking my basic pistol class, and then they already have a conceal and carry. But they already have a conceal and carry, they cannot shoot. They can't pass the shooting qualification for the basic pistol without a lot of assistance. So I'm trying to figure out how in the world they pass the conceal and carry.
Right. I mean, yeah. I agree, and I'm not gonna lie, E. Once we finished our training and once we had finished getting our certification, I was one of those people until I really started thinking about it. I was doing my concealed carry. I was doing not checking the box because I don't really like that term, but I was making sure that they at least got the information per Virginia, right? And getting people that concealed. And now I really sat back and I was like, Dwayne, don't lose your sight. Don't lose sight of why you started this. You didn't start this to just give inexperienced people the power of carrying their firearm inexperiencedly. You're doing no different than that damn online course, except your course has more content. But why don't you create a course to where they have to prove to you that they know how to at least conceal carry responsibly. Hey, that Lanisha, we listening to you, girl. That's the community part right there. You know, you wanna be able to carry your firearm outside, and no one knows. You got to learn how to do it the right way, and then come prove to us that you can do that before you get certified. Little things like that. I wish our fellow instructors would start doing the same thing. Because again, I'm gonna own it. I was guilty of it until I stopped. That's stopping. I'm creating the curriculum right now that you come in, just like you said, Kia, you do my basic intro to pistol, great. But if you come to me and you say, I want to get your conceal, cool. I don't want to say I'm doing this to, you know, I'm testing you to fail, but I'm doing a lot more watching. You got to show me how to shoot. Great call out, folks.
Right.
Great, great call out.
Right.
So we got about 2 more minutes left of the show. I think this has been so informative, and we have so many. We've unpacked so much in this session, so I like it.
Yeah, I want to shout out to our callers again, Sarge and Lanisha. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for the listeners. We got some really good answers to that. I actually thought we all was gonna just say yes. I'm pretty sure all our 10,000 listeners thought that we was just gonna say yes to that answer to that question as well. But it's not, you know, it's not just a straight yes. It's I love the way you said it, Kia, yes, with a caveat. That's beautifully said. Yes, with a caveat.
So in our last 90 seconds, I also want to remind everybody that June is Firearms Safety Awareness Month. So if you're an instructor, make sure you try to incorporate those extra things, extra safeties, into our courses. If you're a citizen, make sure you're getting out and getting some kind of training during the month of June.
Yep.
I know that everybody's going to plan some really good things. And we can definitely our next week's show will be the 1st of June, 2nd of June, so we'll be able to do some things. Maybe we can do some giveaways or something. I don't know. We'll think of something. But definitely make sure that everyone's
ammo's
training.
Like gold. Ammo's like gold right now.
Yeah, maybe we'll think of something creative to make sure everyone's listening and paying attention to safety.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, my sister, my wife, they threw out there, like, what if we did like a Kahoot to close out the show and see who wins or something like that. You know, something real corny, but it may bring, you know, a good way to do some giveaways. But, folks, ladies and gentlemen, our brother E, my sister Kia, love you too. You two are phenomenal. Our listeners, what do we call our listeners again?
You guys are so excellent.
The point blankers?
You call our point blankers.
Yeah, the point
blankers. We love y'all.
Yeah, have a good night.
Blankers.
Yeah, y'all have a good night.
Definitely. That'll be good.
That was a good show, y'all.